Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I don't know if you've been following any of this yet, but I just want to say to our VFN radio listeners that the Democratic National Convention has kicked off. And we know we've talked previously that they just invited Juma, they had Juma to the DNC, and you know, they've basically given, you know, time for prayer in Islam. But one of the things that happened here, and I don't know if a lot of VFN radio listeners, they may or may not know, but God was taken out of the platform for the DNC. God and the capital of Jerusalem was taken out. Now the last Democratic convention, it was in there. It wasn't a problem. Now, I want to say this, that we're not supporting any political party, and we're not promoting any political party. We're just kind of sharing what is actually happening. And it's so important because, you know, no party has a claim to God. No. Just because you put God in your platform doesn't mean you got God. It's like a businessman that puts Jesus on his sign. Just because he has Jesus on the side of his business doesn't mean he has Jesus in his heart. You know what I mean? We have seen that for
sure.
We know that's right. So that doesn't make a difference. Just because you know, doesn't mean you're more spiritual than the other. You know, I like what Tony Evans says, that Jesus doesn't ride on the back of donkeys or elephants. You know, he's not left wing or right wing, but he's for the whole bird. So that's very, very important, because you need to know that in context of what we're going to be talking about today. But this is huge. I mean, they removed God and Jerusalem as being recognized as the capital of Israel. I mean, I'm actually reading this right now on the VFN Torch. Again, you can go to the Torch at VFNTV.com and click Torch. And Bishop Vasti makes a motion to approve the rules with shouts of loud eyes resounding around the DNC gathering as they overwhelmingly approve this new godless platform.
She announced it?
Interesting.
Wow.
Makes a motion.
Oh my goodness, that was her.
It's like, Bishop, first African-American woman, I believe, to head, I believe it's African Methodist denomination. Quote me on that, but she motioned it. She motioned to approve the rules with loud shouts of eyes resounding around the DNC gathering as they overwhelmingly approved the new godless platform.
Now they
approved it. They took Jerusalem out as the capital of Israel. This is very significant. And then, because such outcries, I mean, they approved this just a day ago. Not yesterday, but the day before.
Day before yesterday.
Yeah. And they approved it within, like, you know, 24 hours. The next day, there was such an outcry. Like, you removed God? You removed God from the platform. They actually voted to put God back in. They actually voted. They wanted to, you know, make this happen. They wanted to correct this, if you will, and called them to rethink this. So they want to reintroduce God to the platform, and so they had to vote for it. Now I'm going to show you a video. I'm going to let you hear a video. Now you got to understand this. This is on the floor of the DNC. They're making an amendment now to put God back on the platform. You know, the platform is what you're running on. The platform is what the political party says. These are the issues. These are the things that we want to promote this time around. This is the things that we want to rally our politicians, our party folks around. And this is what we're presenting as. This is what we're all about. And so it's pretty significant when you take God out. What are you saying? Very, very interesting.
Crazy.
So they're on the floor now, okay, and they have to bring this to a vote. So I want you to hear. This is the mayor of Los Angeles. He's in the front, okay. This is in the auditorium of the Civic Center. There's just, you know, tons of people in there. Now I'm gonna play a little segment. I want you to hear what happens when they try to vote God back in. You got to have a vote. You got to have 2/3 vote.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen.
The chair recognizes the delegate from Ohio, the chair of the platform drafting committee, former governor Ted Strickland.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I move that we suspend the rules to permit an amendment to the platform adopted by this convention last night.
So he's saying, hey, I want to make an amendment. We want to bring, you know, we adopted this platform last night. I want to amend this. I want to do something here. Listen to this.
Governor Strickland has made a motion on the floor to suspend the rules. Is there a second? A motion to suspend the rules to permit the amendment.
Now you got to see this. I mean, there is, and this video is available for you on the VFN Torch. So you'll be able to see this in its entirety. But it is packed out. I mean, there's plenty of people there.
To the platform has been moved and seconded. This is a non-debatable motion requiring a 2/3 vote. All of those in favor of suspending the rules, say aye. All those opposed, say no. In the opinion of the chair, there's been a 2/3 affirmative vote to suspend the rules. Governor.
All right, so they're suspending the rules. So now he's going to introduce what they want to do.
Would you like to make your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This summer, I was proud to serve this party as the platform drafting committee chair. As the chair, I come before you today to discuss two important matters related to our party's national platform.
Two important matters relating to our party's political platform. That's what he said, right?
Yeah.
As an ordained United Methodist minister, I am here to attest and affirm that our faith and belief in God is central to the American story.
Our firm and belief in God.
And informs the values we've expressed in our party's platform. In addition,
is the second part.
President Obama recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and our party's platform should as well. Mr. Chairman, I have submitted my amendment in writing, and I believe it is being projected on the screen for the delegates to see. I move adoption of the amendment as submitted.
You got to see this now. He's moving so that now they put the amendment up. It's on the screen. They got to vote for this.
Right.
They got to vote for this. Now the camera pans. We have a picture of this now, the VFN Torch. The picture pans to a couple, a lady and a gentleman. And ladies holding a sign that says Arab American Democrat. She looks in shock and in disbelief. In shock, like, what is happening?
Right.
Okay. And I mean, you got to look at this. I mean, it's just like, and the guy sitting next to her is taking the picture. He has a camera out. He's taking the picture of the Methodist pastor making the motion to place God in Jerusalem back in the DNC platform.
Right.
Okay. Now, why is he taking a picture of the guy? What's that all about? Why is he taking a picture of him? Okay,
yeah.
She's holding a sign, Arab American Democrat. And so now he's put it up. It's on the screen. Listen to what happens.
And shown to the delegates.
A motion has been made. Is there a second? Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, the matter requires a 2/3 vote in the affirmative. All those delegates in favor say aye. All those delegates opposed, say no. In the opinion of the... Let me do that again.
You need 2/3 vote now, okay?
Wow.
You heard the ayes and you heard the noes.
Yeah.
They just voted. The noes were louder. They're trying to reinstate God into their platform. It's just not funny. It's just like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
They're trying to reinstate God back in the platform and they're saying... No. So he says, let me do this again. Listen up.
All of those delegates in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed say no.
No.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Now he's standing befuddled. He doesn't know what to say. Listen,
I guess,
he's looking around. He's shocked because they're saying no. And this couple, the camera pans to this couple, and they're standing up, they're waving their hand, they're saying no. I mean, they're saying no.
Wow.
And the rest of the delegates there, they're saying no. We don't want to put God back into the platform. We don't want to accept Jerusalem as the capital. No. Mm. So he's looking around. The mayor's looking around because he's, you know, like, what do I say
to that? Yeah.
And listen close. The lady comes behind and says, you got to let them do what they're going to do. You got to let them do what they're going to do.
I'll do that one more time.
This is the third time now. The third time.
All those delegates in favor say aye. All those delegates opposed say no. In the opinion of the chair, 2/3 have voted in the affirmative. The motion is adopted. And the platform has been amended as shown on the screen.
Wow.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Now, Governor Strickland.
Wow.
No.
Was this last night?
They just brought him in. Even though they said no, that this couple is still up there. I mean, you got to look at the face of disgust. I mean, just like they're just disgusted. Huh. They're waving. Once he says, you know, and the chair recognizes the eyes, you need 2/3 of a vote. They were gonna bring God back into the platform.
After they took him out, what, the day before?
Right. Now they want to bring him back.
And that's something.
These are the leaders.
Right.
And the delegates are saying no, and they're just waving their hands, and now when they say accepted, they're just saying no. They're booing. They booed. Remember, this is just a sign. Listen. I mean, we got to pay attention to what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pay attention. This is not about a Democrat party. This is not about the Republicans. This is not about either one of them. Because
mm-hmm.
we're not glorifying Republicans. We're not glorifying Democrats. We're just saying this is just what happened. This is just what happened. And three times, Pat, three times. And we talked about yesterday how the DNC, Pat, listen to this, how the mm-hmm. DNC removes God from their platform.
Wow.
Removed God from their platform. Yeah, it's horrific when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact that, and we say, this is not about either political party.
Right.
But just the fact that God was just removed. It's significant. You know, it's not like a symbolic, you know, you can think, I mean, mm-hmm. and even still, I mean, how could, you know, could it be an oversight? How could you oversight?
And you miss
God, mm-hmm. you know? So the DNC removes God, and then the next day they voted
because mm-hmm.
they realized what happened. Actually, they removed God and they removed Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
Mm.
It's huge.
Right.
Huge. And there was so much outcry within 24 hours. I mean, it didn't take anything for this thing just to take off, where people were responding and you know, saying, what happened here? What is going on?
Mm-hmm.
That they voted to bring it back. And so we're talking about this yesterday. And as we're talking about it, you know, you can actually kind of, you know, I actually laugh a little bit and I say, this is not funny. And what I'm thinking during this time is that, you know, this is horrific. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just like horrific. Now they're having to introduce and try to bring God back into their platform, what their party's standing for, what's going to be their agenda, right? Mm-hmm. That they're presenting to their delegates.
Right.
And they're taking this vote in front of, you know, the whole crowd. I mean, it's huge. This civic center, if you will, is just packed out.
All right.
And they're taking the vote, and it's the mayor of Los Angeles who's presiding over this. And the first time he you know, puts the vote, they need 2/3 of the delegates to say aye, to agree, aye or nay,
mm-hmm.
and in order for it to pass, for it to be accepted. And he gives the you know, he presents it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just about to go automatically. Well, the chair accepts the chair, you know, he's about to just go ahead and accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens, he just stops mid-sentence.
Dead cold.
Because the no's were louder
than
the ayes.
Yeah.
This is to bring God back
right
into mm-hmm. their platform.
Right.
And so he's kind of dumbfounded. And you know, I'm all this is racing through my mind. I've seen the video prior to sharing this yesterday, and you can go to the, you know, VFN Torch, and you can see this whole thing, this whole video entirely. And I'm all these thoughts are running through my mind, which some of which I didn't share and communicate over the air. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't want to take my laughter to be misinterpreted. But mm-hmm. what I also knew at that time that I didn't share, I'll share with you right now, is that Pat, when I originally saw this video, uh-huh. they showed the teleprompter. Uh-huh. And the teleprompter was telling the mayor mm-hmm. to go ahead and accept it.
Right.
It was telling him to accept it. Mm-hmm. And the reason he's just in a
quagmire.
Yeah, quagmire, if you will, yeah. is because he's about to go read the script. You know, the eyes have it. You know, yeah. here we go.
We have two thirds.
And he's hearing the crowd say no.
Yeah. It was overwhelming.
He's hearing the crowd say no. No to God. No to making Jerusalem the capital. And I'm just thinking the foolishness of men. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, this whole time I'm thinking, it's just the foolishness of men mm-hmm. to think, one, that we could take God out, two, to think mm-hmm. that we're going to be able to slip God back in a party platform through the back door, you know, and just going to ram it in and just 1, 2, 3, let's just do this.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's the teleprompter telling him what to say, and it's like, no, mm-hmm. no.
Right.
This is horrific. So I kind of had all that stuff going on in my mind. I didn't fully communicate all of that, but that kind of just to share you a little bit about what happened in regards to that. Finally, after the third time, he does it three times, yeah. and he's still the nose. I mean, there's a picture on the torch of a couple, Arabic couple, and she's actually the female in the group is a male and a female. The female in the group, she actually has a sign. Mm-hmm. That says Arab American Democrat.
Right.
And he is waving no. I mean, he's standing up by the third time. He's moving his hands side to side, clearly screaming. I mean, there's a bunch of them, but the camera zooms in on this couple and he's screaming no. I mean, just with everything he has, you know what I mean? Right. Just like intense. Mm-hmm. And she has a face of disgust, and it's just like mm-hmm. man, you know, they, and then once he accepted, they booed afterwards. And you're just like, wow, what, yeah. you know,
wow,
this is sad.
Very sad.
This is sad.
Yeah. And I said, I was shocked. I'm not shocked. It's just so disappointing to actually see it for your own.
That's what it is.
It's, I mean, it's like in your face.
We're grappling yesterday for words. We're like, what do you say to this? It's like, mm-hmm. what? It's just like, are you serious?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, are you serious?
Yeah. It's just all out in the open now. I mean, we already knew it, but now it's just like, here you go.
Right. And you're like, it's out.
Yeah.
And
it's out.
And you're just like, wow.
Yeah. It's you're coming out of the closet.
Right. You know? I mean, it's just, and it is what it is. And mm-hmm. they fixed it. They brought God, you know. But the whole time, you know, we're looking at this and we're thinking, okay, it's one thing for the DNC, you know, to remove God from their platform, but has much of the church removed their heart from God?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean, we shared some statistics yesterday, obviously it's not the whole church.
Yeah.
You know, but according to these statistics that we shared, and I'm going to share some with you today, that 81%, there was a survey done by Barna Group. Mm-hmm. This survey, by the way, Pat, was over a 6-year period of time in his research.
Wow.
And said 81% of this is self-identified Christians that said that, you know, they claim, you know, they said that they're Christians. 81% say that they made a personal commitment to God, to Jesus Christ. Of that 81, 75% strongly agreed that spirituality is something that's very important to them. And you mm-hmm. back up and you say, well, 81% of Christians said that they made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. That means that 20, 19% didn't make a personal commitment. I mean, it's not possible. If you're going to come to God, you got to make a personal commitment to Him. That's what coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. You're accepting Him and you're dethroning yourself and saying, you know, I accept you as not just my Savior, but the Lord, the boss of my life. I receive your forgiveness, your grace, and I pledge my allegiance to you.
All right.
And so, but 78%, they strongly agree that spirituality is something that's very important. Yet, these other statistics don't match up with what they're saying. Because it says that 18% claim to be totally committed to investing in their own spiritual development.
Right.
So it's like, if 78% strongly agree that spirituality is very important, then why only 18% are totally committed to investing in their own spiritual development? I'm going to tell you, if you don't invest in your relationship with God, you're not going to have one.
Right. That's right.
You know, the Bible says in James, and if you draw close to God, He will draw close to you. But it's a relationship. And what relationship would you have that if you didn't invest? It's like any other relationship. You got to invest in it or you're just not going to have one.
That's right.
And when I say invest, I mean, it's just you spend time with the one you love. You do right by them. You read God's word.
You spend time with them. Yeah.
You communicate, you pray, and when you become a Christian, you live for His glory. You're living for God at that point because you've been bought, right? And you're living for Him. You're not living for yourself.
Right.
And so 22% claim to be totally dependent upon God. 22%.
This is not
all the church, but this is, you know what I'm saying? This is
the ones they surveyed.
Right.
Yeah.
The ones they surveyed. So, I mean, you can't say that the whole church is in a state, but the ones that they surveyed, and you got to look at and say, you know, do we have an issue here? Is this concerning? I mean, can we really point fingers? And we just got to get out of the pointing finger business, really. I mean, it's not what God's ever called us to do. Right. And this, you know, it's one thing for the DNC to take God out of their platform, but, you know, has much of the church, not all the church, much of the church removed God from their heart. You know, because many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Did we not do miracles? Did we not cast out demons? And He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And it's like, eesh. Although they prayed, although demons did go, and although miracles did happen, He is going to say, depart from me. And it's like, let me tell you something. I'll tell you right now, don't get caught up in signs and wonders. Don't get caught up in all this type of stuff. I mean, yes, signs and wonders happen. But you know what signs do? Signs are only to point to Jesus.
That's right.
They're only to point to Jesus. They're not to point to the sign and say, ooh, that's a sign. That's a sign. Ooh, that's a wonder. That's a wonder. The healing talks about the healer. You know, someone gets healed. It talks. It speaks. It points. It shouts to the healer, to the one who made this possible. But if you're chasing all this other stuff, it's like we want to chase God. I often say that, you know, the only place that I want to be, you know, is like I have learned some things. I'm still learning a lot of things. but it's all I want to be is a friend of God. You know, Pat, that's the highest place I want to. I want to be His friend. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just want to be close to Him, and that's the only place that I want to aspire for. You know, people get caught up sometimes in trying to do all this other stuff for God that they don't know God.
Right.
And that's our chief aim. Our chief aim is to know Him and to make Him known. And so, you know, we shared some statistics and just about repentance and what were some thoughts about repentance and turning back to God and getting things right with Him. But let me tell you, this is something that's serious. It's something that takes, you know, reflection. It takes time to say, you know what? We can't do it without a relationship. You're not going to make it by having, you know, Jesus on the outside as if you could and not have Jesus on the inside.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Just because we say that we're a Christian, or maybe you know, we agree with the Christian religion, if you will,
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean you aren't one. I mean, you Christian means, you know, Christ follower.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I like the word disciple, you know, because he says, go make disciples. Are, mm-hmm. are you a follower of Jesus?
Right.
Well, we got to two things that yesterday in regards to obstacles for a believer in this article to have full transformation, you know, and the thing is the gospel brings transformation. That's the, I mean, what obstacles? There shouldn't be any obstacles,
mm-hmm.
because the gospel itself, if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, he transforms you, mm-hmm. transforms. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, all things pass away and behold, all things become new. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of things out there that have power to change. I mean, you can hear beautiful words. You know, you can throw money at a situation and you can make things happen. I mean, you can use brute force and you can cause things to change. But if you're talking about transformation, if you're talking about life changing, and you're talking about bringing true, mm-hmm. true change into your life,
right. The
only true transformational change is the gospel of Jesus Christ, is receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.
That's right.
And I just love that scripture because it's so true. If any man be in Christ, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. You transforms, like you metamorphosize. It's like who you used to be and what you used to think and what you used to value totally change, because it's not about you or your flesh or anything like that. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. It's all mm-hmm. about honoring him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So this other area, Pat, talks about activity. And it says, mired in culture that rewards hardworking business, it's not surprising that tens of millions of self-identified Christians have confused religious activity with spiritual significance and depth.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, 4 out of 10 self-identified Christian adults, that's 39%, have participated in a combination of 3 normal religious activities in the past week. You know, they sit here attending, you know, a church service, you know, praying, reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But far fewer have engaged in another trio of deeper faith expressions.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 1 out of 10. So that's less than 10%. Have talked about their faith with a non-Christian, fasted for religious purposes, or had an extended time of spiritual reflection during the past week. That's huge.
Wow.
So it's like, we can have all this activity. Listen, he says, various spiritual disciplines include solitude, sacrifice, acts of service, and silence, and scriptural meditation are also infrequently practiced.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to realize that, wait a minute, what's happening? I mean, you can be involved in all this religious activity. You can do all this stuff for God, if you will. You can do all these different things in the name of God. But if you don't know God, and you're not telling others about the mm-hmm. the God that you love, say you love and you profess.
Right.
I mean, there's issue with that. God told us to, Jesus told us to go, and this is the last thing he says.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Before he says, go and make disciples of all nations.
All right.
He wasn't just talking to the disciples, then he's talking to all of us today who are believers.
Mm-hmm.
And less than 10% have actually shared their faith with anyone. I want to encourage you. If the Lord's done a tremendous work in your life and he's saved you, share him. Share him with the world. Share him with everyone. Share him with every opportunity that you get. I mean, if you got a new car,
mm-hmm.
you tell us all about your new car.
Yeah.
If you went on vacation, you would not just tell us, but you'd make sure we've seen all the pictures on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
If you bought a new car, a new house,
yeah,
you know we would know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we share about the things that are closest to us. I want to encourage you, share the Lord Jesus Christ. Share that people every day, you know, are dying they're separated from God. They're mm-hmm. dying in their present condition. And then if they die without knowing God, they're going to go to hell.
Yeah.
And hell is a reality, mm-hmm. you know, and something about just people in general. But, you know, you often hear that, you know, people say that, well, at least they're in a better place. And it's like, no, we may or may not know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I don't have a heaven or hell to put anyone in, but it's like if the person didn't want nothing to do with God here on earth at all, why would we want to put them in a place where they're going to be with God in eternity? Right. You know what I mean? And so it's not about religious activity. It's not about, you know, doing all this other stuff so that we can earn a place with God. Let me tell you something. God already loves you without you doing a single thing. I mean, if you have a child, you know that as soon as that child is born, it's amazing. The child hasn't said a word, Pat, hasn't done a thing mm-hmm. for you, but just exists. I mean, maybe they didn't even open their eyes yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when they were in the womb, it's like this love just started just blossoming.
Yeah, start pouring out.
But when you first lay your eyes on this child, your physical eyes, the overwhelming love. I mean, I thought I loved my wife, Pat. You know, I love my wife. I really do. I love my wife. But when I saw those babies, when I saw, it's just like I had no idea that I could experience that dimension. I mean, I knew what it meant to, you know, love my parents, or love my friends, or love the church, or love my wife. I mean, I experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I had a child,
I
experienced the level of love,
whole another dimension.
And God was reminding me that, you know what, he loves us. He loves, I mean, without us doing a single thing. I want to encourage you that if you got caught up in trying to do something for God and trying to earn his love by good works and by doing, you know, religious activities as a way to earn favor, not because you know him, but just in a way that maybe you could do tap dancing. Sometimes we get into this performance acceptance syndrome where we start performing for people in order for them to like us. We start giving them the things that they want. If they like tap dancing, and we do a nice little tap dance for them, and then we get acceptance. Well, let me tell you, you don't have to tap dance for Jesus. You don't have to tap dance for God. You don't have to do any religious works for his love, you know, for you to have his love. He loves you unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
Unconditionally. And you can begin to have that time with him. You can begin to have that time where you begin to read his love letter, his personal letter to you. It's the Bible. And we're going to get a chance, hopefully, in this program today to talk about the flawless word of God, God's beautiful love letter to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can begin to learn his ways and learn his purposes and learn his heart and grow in the knowledge of him, grow in your relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful journey. It's a beautiful journey. But we thought that this was interesting. I'll tell you, church, we can journey back. We can make it back. In this last thing that they had obstacles with, those that were surveyed said that 21% believe that's only 21% believe that spiritual maturity requires a vital connection to a community of faith. And furthermore, only 35% claim to have confessed their sins verbally to another believer at some point during the past quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it is vital.
Yeah.
It's vital for the church. He says, don't forsake the gathering of the brothers. Don't forsake. Don't stop meeting. You got to meet. You got to come together.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the church, not go to a building, but come amongst each other.
Right.
You're the church, because as iron sharpens iron, so one brother sharpens another. As you care and live, you know, I'm reminded of the guy that tried, you know, it says, I love God, but people is my problem. It's like, hello.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like. Yeah. How we treat others oftentimes determines the depth of our walk with God.
That's right.
And so when we come together as the church, we get to carry each other's burdens and walk this journey out with the Lord. We can be encouraged. Mm-hmm. We minister. We bring encouragement and hope, and we together, you know, we offer each other accountability, mm-hmm. and we can walk this relationship out with the Lord individually and collectively. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, the church, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
And if we journey back, if the change, and it starts with me, right? If I'm part of the church, if I'm a believer, it starts with me. Don't look for someone else to change. Don't look for the person, you know, next to you. Start with you. Start to say that, you know what? I'm going to change. I'm going to turn my heart to God. I'm going to seek a deeper relationship with Him like never before. I'm not going to try to work at this as far as trying to earn points or do anything in my own strength. I'm just going to have a relationship. I'm just going to, you know, if you need a plan, if you need a plan to how to start spending time with God, reading His Word, writing down what He tells you to, you know, and obeying, I encourage you, mm-hmm. go to iabide.org, sign up for this simple plan, and it's kind of like a roadmap. It'll help you to get started on your journey. We'll be right back.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.